From this point on, we're going to continue unannounced. We're going to have seven readings, and we're going to sing carols in between. And we're going to span the breadth of the Old Testament and the New as we hear the Christmas story.
And our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. That evening they heard the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here gave me the fruit and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it." Then the Lord God said to the snake, "You will be punished for this. You alone of all the animals must bear this curse. From now on, you will crawl on your belly, and you will have to eat dust as long as you live. I will make you and the woman hate each other. Her offspring and yours will always be enemies. Her offspring will crush your head, and you will bite her offspring's heel."
The Lord says, "Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are one of the smaller towns in Judah, but out of you I will be a ruler for Israel. The family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to the enemies until a woman who is to give birth has her son. Then the old Israelites around Israel will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness."
The birth of Jesus is announced. God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For the reason the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. There is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
Luke chapter verses 1 to 7. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth to her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in clothes, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away back from into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger.
Matthew 2, verses 1 to 11. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east. We've come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem, in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. From you will come a leader who will guide my people, Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and through God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son.
What sort of imagination have you got? Some people seem to have a much more active imagination than others. Perhaps some of you when you were younger, or some of you who are still young, read something like superhero comics. Or perhaps you've seen one of the new films that there have been numerous ones. Can I just have a show of hands? Who's seen one of these films, like The Avengers or X-Men or Iron Man? Some of you not. Okay. So I think it's something that people either particularly like or they don't like. But these superheroes are there to fight the baddies. There's always good and bad, good and evil, isn't there? Just as there is in our own world. And people have great fun with them all. When I was much younger, I used to watch the puppet creations of Gerry Anderson, which some of you might remember. You might have heard of Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, or Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds probably the most popular one. There was one called Joe 90, where they could put this little boy in a helmet, and suddenly he had the knowledge of an aircraft pilot or whatever it was he needed. I'm sure we've all imagined ourselves at some time entering into another world. Perhaps you've seen the Toy Story films and imagined entering into that world. And for a time we can forget the boring, the difficult things of our lives, such as the ironing, the maths homework, the tax return. But of course it's all fantasy. We can't fly like Superman. We can't climb walls like Spider-Man. Our toys don't really come to life when we're asleep. And unfortunately, none of us are indestructible in the same way that Captain Scarlet was. But I wonder how you imagine God. Is he to you just like a very clever human being? Or is he so different that we really can't understand anything about him? Well, actually, neither of those things is true. But sometimes we do think in similar ways, and it can be a mistake. We shouldn't anthropomorphize God. That's think of him in human terms only, any more than we should think that he is unapproachable. And we shouldn't do that with our family cat or dog either. Our cats and dogs can do many things that we can't they? The way they leap up onto a fence, it's like us leaping up about 25 feet. Their hearing and sense of smell are superior to ours. Interestingly, in some ways, their eyesight is actually poor. They don't have the same focus, although cats, of course, can see in the dark. But what would they do in a room when the door was closed? Would they be able to open the handle, even if they could reach it? Probably not. They certainly don't write essays or do maths. But neither should we see God as being remote and uninterested in us, in our lives. The Bible tells us that we were made in his image. Way back in Genesis, it tells us that. So we definitely have some common ground, as it were, with God. But people do often have difficulty understanding people whose lives were very different from theirs. For those of you who are into Shakespeare, you might remember Shakespeare's play, Henry V. And the king disguises himself and he walks among his troops to try and discover their morale, what they're thinking, and to try and boost it and encourage them. And that was all before the Battle of Agincourt in 1415. And that was reality. Much later, on the fictional side, in the 24th century, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise laments the fact that he is unable to do the same as King Henry V before a battle that he's about to embark on with the Borg. In that show, there's an android, Mr. Data, and he studies the Henry V play in order to learn more about being human. One passage we didn't read this morning was from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 64, when Isaiah is pleading with God to rend open the heavens and come down and do a lot of other things which he didn't actually do. But God did, at Christmas, rend open the heavens and come down. That last passage which we read from John is all about Jesus becoming human. John wrote to Greeks as well as Jews, and he tried to put it in terms that both communities would understand, in the way that Jesus came to earth, and he was both human and he was God. And what did he come down for? Well, he didn't come down to deal with enemies like the French or the Borg. He came down to deal with the enemy that we call sin. It's just a word for the wrong things that we do, our wrong attitudes to God, the things that we think that we shouldn't think, the things that we say we shouldn't say, the things we do we shouldn't do, and the things we should do that we fail to do. God as Jesus really did enter into our world. And he didn't do it as a king. He didn't do it as a starship captain. But he came to a very ordinary family. And he did it a long time ago, where life certainly wasn't as pleasant as it is for many of us here now in this time. We don't have perfect memories, do we? And we realize that a bit more as we get older. But I'm sure that Jesus remembers everything that happened in his life on earth. He knew what it was to be a helpless, dependent child. And that's how we view him at Christmas. But of course, he grew up. He knew what it was to grow up. And I'm sure that he had his problems as he grew as well. He knows what it's like to have to obey parents, how it feels when people are mean, how it feels to be poor. As a grown adult, he knew what it was like to have to turn up for work for a living. He didn't have any of the comforts and entertainments that we have and often take for granted. And when he began his ministry, as we call it, when he was about 30 years old, when he started to tell other people about God, and do all the things that were recorded in the Bible, he had to depend on others for financial support. His own disciples, those people who followed him around, often didn't understand him or relate to him very well. And most of the religious leaders of the day opposed him. And ultimately, that led to his death. But there are two vitally important things that Jesus coming down to earth accomplished. Firstly, he enabled God to forgive us our sins, because Jesus paid the price for our sins. And secondly, because he experienced human life, he knows what it's like. He can help us in our own lives if we just allow him to. Christmas is a time when we think perhaps about presents we're going to give or receive. Some of us may worry about all the work that's involved. Others are tempted to eat or drink too much. And there's nothing wrong with giving presents, nothing wrong with eating and drinking and celebrating, seeing friends and family, or as we have this morning, singing carols. But the most important thing about Christmas is that God rend it open the heavens. He came down in Jesus. And that's a gift much more valuable than anything that any of us are going to either give or receive. So at least this for Christmas, let's make the time to say thank you to God. Thank you to Jesus for what he did. It wasn't an imaginary thing. It actually happened. And let's ask him to help us live lives that are better lives, more pleasing to him, more helpful to those around us.